Let's just pray for those guys now. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth of it, and we thank you for your Spirit who ministers that truth to us. And so we pray as you lead us through your word this morning in Sunday school or here with Reuben. We just ask, Father God, that we are faithful to your word and that we take your word into our hearts and our minds to be more passionate in our discipleship of Jesus. We pray these things in his name. Amen. So Reuben, good to have you. Welcome again. We're going to hear from you now.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. The subject that we're going to be talking about, I've been struggling myself right throughout the week. And sometimes, you know, like I was thinking of not speaking today because of it. But, you know, you have to endure through the good times and the bad times with the Lord. And just like Paul, the Apostle Paul, he went to preach to the Gentile nations, and there was a lot of setbacks in his ministry, but he persevered. And that's a good example that we could take from his ministry. And so, well, we'll just, carry on our message this morning. It's good to see you this morning. So, one of the traits of a Christian is being patient. Even more so now that, you know, the traffic seems like it's getting busier. And you have to have that type of patience. I remember the other time when I was just driving along the road, I was following a car behind, and he was doing about 30 kilometres an hour, and it was about 60 kilometres an hour, and he's going really slow. We were travelling for some distance, and I was thinking to myself, oh, this guy's sort of testing my patience. And so the lights were coming up. The traffic lights were coming up, and then we stopped there, and I thought to myself, oh, well, he'll probably go a bit faster when the lights turn green. As soon as the lights turn green, he's still traveling at 30 kilometres an hour. And I was thinking, oh, this guy is doing it on purpose. I think he's just trying to pee me off. And so I beat my horn, but he didn't respond. He was he had his indicator on. He was turning right. And as he turned around the corner, he just took off. There was this other time as well when I was at the traffic lights. It's all about the traffic. Across from me, I could see the other traffic that had stopped. And I saw this other lady approaching the car in front, and she was pissed off. And she was really banging on the window, thinking, you know, like, I was thinking, oh, what was wrong? And she was shouting at the person in front. And, I was thinking to myself, oh, so she's really, really upset. I don't know why. But, so she got back in the car. And if she'd done it any harder, it probably would have smashed. And, I saw on the news this other time where two blokes were just having a fist fight on the side of the road. And they were just going hard out. And my point is, human anger compared to God's anger is totally different. Human anger shouldn't be acted upon. I mean, we act in a way that's very, we lash out and all that, but in regards to God's anger, it's all controlled. Before we start off this message this morning, I'd like to lead us in a word of prayer. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for life. We thank you for your word that lets us know about you and about your creation. I pray that you'll be with us this morning as we read and share your word. Amen. The title of this message is When God's Patience Runs Out. When God's patience runs out. For a lot of people, it seems like in the Old Testament, God is a God of wrath. But in the New Testament, it seems like he's mellowed out. It seems like that in the New Testament, he's a God of love. But the Bible says that God is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. Throughout the generations, God's character has always been consistent. When times have changed and seasons have come and gone, he remains the same. When Jerry was preaching the other day, he had a picture of the attributes of God. And one of his attributes was love. And he was saying that the Pentecostals, they say that God is a God of love, which he is. But he's also a God of wrath. And the Bible reading this morning, we're going to be talking about the wrath of God. Why does God get angry? In this chapter we're going to looking at this morning, there are three reasons why God gets angry. Number one, God gets angry when we break his laws. Number two, God gets angry when we don't listen to him. And number three, God gets angry when we reject his message. And number four, God gets angry when the good news is that God is not angry with us. God gets angry when we break his laws. That's not what I wanted on the screen, but never mind. No, I just wander on all on one screen, but never mind. That'll do. God gets angry when we break his laws. Judah broke the first commandment. Israel was divided into two kingdoms or states. The division started after the death of King Solomon in 965 to 931 BC. I assume that the 12 tribes of Israel had a disagreement and split into two kingdoms. Israel was to the north and Judah was to the south. Israel was named after Jacob. Jacob was the grandson of Abraham. Jacob had 12 sons that became the 12 tribes of Israel. I like the meaning of the name Israel. It means to persevere with God. As Christians, we need to persevere with God as well. Christianity is not a 100-meter sprint. It's a marathon. When you're running the race of life, you see people dropping out of the race, but you must persevere to the end, because at the end, you'll receive the crown of life. In verses 1, it says, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Jeremiah was supposed to give two messages. One was for Judah, and the other one was for the Gentile nations. The message to Judah was this. In verses 5 to 6, it says, each time the message was this: turn from the evil road you are traveling on and from the evil things you are doing. Only then will I let you live in this land that the Lord gave to you and your ancestors forever. Do not provoke my anger by worshipping idols you made with your own hands, and then I will not harm you. Judah broke the first commandment, and it's like when a spouse commits adultery with another person. Judah abandoned her first love and committed adultery with other gods. Judah broke the agreement that they had with God. God hates it when we worship other idols. Israel was unique compared to other nations. They were the only ones who had the Mosaic law, or God's law. So what's the purpose of God's laws? God's laws brings the knowledge of sin. Number two, God's laws stops us from boasting in our good works. And number three, God's laws helps the world know that they are guilty. Number four, God's laws acts as our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Number one, God's laws brings the knowledge of sin. The law shows us what sin is. Sin is lawlessness. The law wasn't given to us, it was given to Israel. No one could ever be made right with God by keeping the law. The Ten Commandments tells us what sin is. For example, the Israelites wouldn't know if stealing wasn't a sin if it didn't say it in their law. If it wasn't for the law, I wouldn't have had known sin. In the Bible, so it says everyone who makes it a practice of sinning also practice lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. Number two, God's laws stops us from boasting in our good works. All world religions are based on good works. They think that their good works will get them to heaven. Even some Christians believe the same thing. They believe that their good works will get them to heaven. Your good deeds won't get you into heaven. You won't be able to boast in your good works before God. You're saved first, and then comes good works. Martin Luther, who was a German priest who lived in around the 14th and the 15th century, he thought that his good works will get him to heaven. He tried so hard, but he still sinned. He discovered in the book of Romans that salvation is not based on works, but by faith. And number three, God's laws helps us know what we are guilty of. One day, every one of us will stand before God. He's going to judge us according to his laws. There will be no excuses before God. Every one of us have broken God's laws. But the good news is God's provided a way out. Number four, God's laws act as our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. A better word for schoolmaster is guardian. The movie A Man on Fire, starring Denzel Washington, is about a family who hired a bodyguard to protect and take care of their little girl. His job was to take her to school and back home. Likewise with the law. The purpose of the law was to bring us to Christ. God's standards requires perfection. No one can keep the Ten Commandments. It's like saying that there's a perfect family or saying that there's a perfect church. A perfect family doesn't exist. A perfect church doesn't exist. There's no such thing. The Apostle Paul says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's only one person who kept the law. And there's only one person who was faithful. And we put our trust in him. Another reason why God gets angry, number two, is God gets angry when we don't listen to him. Judah wasn't listening to the word. The phrase, you have not listened, is mentioned four times in verses 3, 4, and 7, and 8. In Matthew 13, verse 1 to 23, our Lord Jesus tells us, his listeners, about the parable of the sower. In verses 9, it has the phrase, he who has ears, let him hear. The parable is about the heart, the hardened heart and the receptive heart. Jesus' disciples said, why do you speak to them in parables? And Jesus replies, this is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You'll be forever hearing, but never understanding. You will be forever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's hearts has become calloused or hardened. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes, otherwise they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I will heal them. Jesus explains what the parables mean. And that's in Matthew chapter 13, verses 18 to 23. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in the heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only for a short time. When troubles or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. There are four soils, or four hearts, that hear the word. The first one doesn't understand the word because the devil comes and snatches it away. The second one understands it, but when troubles or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The third one hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth chokes the word and makes it unfruitful. The fourth one hears the word and understands it and produces a crop. The first three hearts were hardened to the word of God. The last one was receptive. The Bible Dictionary defines the hardness of heart as a refusal to hear the word of God, what can be a refusal to submit and obey the will of God. The people of Judah hardened their hearts to the word of God. That's why they were held captive in Babylon for 70 years. One reason why God decided 70 years was that the land may enjoy the rest that the Jews denied it. The law of sabbatical year had been ignored for nearly 500 years. Just like Jeremiah had a commission by God, we have a commission by Jesus Christ. We need to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The third reason why God gets angry is because God gets angry when we reject his message. Judah rejected Jeremiah's message. Again and again, God sent prophets, but Judah didn't listen. God was angry because he kept warning them. It's just like me with my kids when I tell them to keep their rooms clean and their beds tidy. And then when I go back, it just seems like it went through one ear out the other. I keep on telling them, but they don't listen. So I start to get angry. The Bible says that God is slow to become angry. It took 23 years before God's patience ran out. When we share the message with others and they reject it, they're not rejecting us, they're rejecting Christ. When you get an opportunity to share your faith with others, do it. That goes for me too. We only tend to share our faith at church, but we need to share the good news with others. We need to share our faith with the others in the community. God is patient with us. He wants us to repent. Repent means to turn. In the New Testament, repent means to turn from sins. Analogy of this is Weybush, a town in remote portion of Labrador, Canada, was completely isolated for some time. But recently, a road was cut through a wilderness to reach it. Weybush now has one road leading into it, and thus only one road leading out. If someone was to travel the unpaved road for 6 to 8 hours to get into Weybush, there is only one way he or she could leave, by turning around. Each of us, by birth, arrives in a town called Sin, As Waybush, there is only one way out, a road but built by God himself. But in order to take that road, we must first turn around. That complete about face is what the Bible calls repentance. And without it, there's no way out of town. I've got the author's name. I've got to put him in my manuscript. Never mind. So Jeremiah preached the word for 23 years. I would have given up in 2 years. But no, not Jeremiah. He persevered. When Jeremiah was talking to Judah, it was like talking to a brick wall. But there's good news. The good news is that God is not angry with us. Judah was held captive in Babylon for 70 years. 70 years was a whole lifetime. After 70 years, God punished the Gentile nations. God gave Jeremiah a cup of wrath. He was to take the cup to all the Gentile nations to drink from it. In verses 15 to 16, it says, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, said to me. Take from my hand this cup filled to the brim with my anger. Make all the nations to whom I send you drink from it. When they drink from it, they will stagger, grazed by the warfare I will send against them." All of the prophecies that God predicted came true. God's anger is still upon unbelievers. Anyone who does not believe in Christ, the wrath of God is still upon them. When Israel was slaves in Egypt, Moses told the Israelites to put on their doorpost the blood of a lamb. When the angel of death came, he would pass over the house with the blood on the doorpost. All of Egypt's oldest sons died. In the Old Testament, the wrath of God was upon the nation of Israel every time they break God's laws. And that's why they had to sacrifice animals to appease God's anger. The wrath of God was upon believers, those who believed in God. In the New Testament, it shifts focus. God's wrath is upon unbelievers, those who do not respond to the gospel and do not believe. In John 3:36, it says, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them." In Romans chapter 1, verse 18, it says, "The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and the wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness." Thank God for His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. He became a propitiation or satisfaction. The word a propitiation carries the idea of appeasement or satisfaction specifically towards God. In Romans chapter 3, verses 25, "Whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in His divine forbearance, He had passed over former sins." Propitiation is a two-part act that involves appeasing the wrath of an offended person and being reconciled to Him. According to Paul, God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. In my opinion, I believe we're living in the last days. You just have to look around the world and it's getting worse. The earth's temperature is rising, the ice is melting, and the sea levels are rising. There are people out there protesting about climate change, but there's only so much a man can do. God's wrath is going to play out in these last days. As believers, we're looking forward to His second coming. But for those who choose not to believe in Him, it will be a very bad time for them. That's the message this morning. I'll just close off with a word of prayer. Dear God, thank You for the message this morning. For some people, it's hard to swallow the message of wrath. But You have given us a complete revelation of Yourself. It's not the bits and pieces that we would want to hear, but it's the good, the bad, and the ugly parts of our fallen world. You are a holy and righteous God. That's just to name a couple of Your attributes. We thank you for the brothers and sisters in Christ. I pray that you'll be with each and every one of us for the week ahead. I pray for the sick in our church, that you'll heal them and that we'll continue to seek your face every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.